When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
You've got da, 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 da,
da, da, da, upset da, stomach.
Upset stomach.
Yeah,
diarrhea. Which is really,
really singing it.
What's wrong with that?
You can't sing diarrhea like that. That's not how diarrhea feels.
Yeah, but they did.
Diarrhea. Are we live? Oh God! You gotta give us a heads up.
Pardon
I could have said anything.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Welcome to Carish 25.
I just liked how you said diarrhea.
I hate the way they sing that in the Pepto-Bismol song. Very upsetting.
Welcome to Carish number
25.
The podcast where we talk about everything from cars to diarrhea and anything in between.
Yikes. Hopefully more in between.
Yeah.
We are starting this podcast with Case complaining about some of the most iconic jingles of all time.
Oh, there's a lot of bad jingles. I'm okay with a good jingle. We decided the O'Reilly's jingle is a good jingle.
Oh, it's
jingle.
So good.
Yeah,
it's so
that's
good.
A good jingle.
What about the Car Toys one?
Car Toys jingle, bad jingle. A better way to go.
Meow.
No, that's O'Reilly's. See, it makes you want.
We wish it was.
Empire, the carpet cleaning.
Oh, 800-588-2300. Empire.
Today.
I thought that was just a Midwest thing. Was that out here too?
Oh, it's all over the country, I'm pretty sure.
Do you know the tree farm? Have you heard of the tree farm one? This is local to Colorado. It's like...
Now you're on the spot.
You drive 5 miles west. To the tree farm.
You know what's actually a local one that's decent? Pete Kia. It's a great idea.
The problem I have with the O'Reilly's one is that meow, it goes at the end of every jingle. Pete Kia, it's a great idea. Meow.
Well, it should go at the end of everyone.
That
just shows you how iconic it is.
Yeah.
So in today's episode of Car-ish, Jen has come up with a number of topics. Give us a preview.
We have quite a few. So we will be talking about some of our worst breakdowns that we've ever experienced personally. Can't wait to get into that. And then I thought it would be fun to kind of give our personal cars personalities and describe them as if they were our friends, whether we would actually be friends with them or not.
Yep.
Some of them, probably not. Then I think we should talk about some overrated car mods and overrated cars themselves.
Ooh, good ones.
Yes.
So dive us right in, Jen.
Okay.
Personality.
So,
worst breakdowns.
Worst breakdowns. What do you think?
Starting with me.
Most likely.
For the purposes of this, I'm not going to count stuff breaking in my driveway or whatever, or like at my house, or just things breaking in general. Because if we were to count every single thing I've ever fixed on one of my cars, I couldn't count.
Mm-hmm.
But in each of my vehicles, my cars that I still own now, I've had one situation in each of them where I've been out and about and have needed assistance to get them back.
Mm.
So as far as like worst breakdowns go, that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, that's fair.
So with the Land Rover, I had some transfer case trouble about a mile from my house, and a buddy of mine was with me. So we used a tow rope to get it back, and it's only fair because I doubled the horsepower on that machine. maybe about 2 miles from my house, I broke the input shaft on my truck, which is only fair because I doubled the horsepower on that machine. And then my Mercedes in high school had a fuel pump go bad, and it's 50 years old. I didn't double the horsepower on it.
Yeah.
Stop.
No.
But
that's not too bad.
Those are the only things I've happened where I've needed somebody's help to get back
you did,
in my car.
You did break a Subaru.
Well, that's not my car.
It was a pretty bad breakdown.
I mean, I guess, for sure. I drove into a puddle rather fast.
I swear he had no intention of actually getting out of that puddle.
He
knew You knew you were going to unalive that Subaru.
There was a chance it wasn't going to work out.
There was essentially this large puddle, and I thought it was just going to be a big splash, but it ended up just completely hydrolocking that engine.
It's more of a pond.
Yes, it was quite big. Yeah. And then we used Legendary Perry to push it out. So here goes Case. It looks like a puddle, but it's hard to know the depth of such.
Well, if you could only hear how we launched the car. Yeah. There was not a lot of care.
Your face.
Speaking of diarrhea, looks like I just had some.
Yikes.
That was a pretty big breakdown. Mm.
Yeah. As far as stuff at work, vehicles that we've tested, I don't know. We don't usually have tons of catastrophic failures.
Yeah, we're pretty good about it.
Usually. Yeah.
How about you, Jen? What's your worst breakdown?
Well, mine also consisted of a Mercedes during high school. My first car, my 84 190E. RIP, love that car. But on my way to high school, the high school's off this main road, and I'm coming off the side street waiting to turn left, and then my ball joint on the left front just kind of failed. And then my wheel was like this. And I just see all my friends just driving to school, seeing me just totally stuck there. And there was not even a question of whether or not it was me, because nobody else was driving a white 1984 190E in high school. So I had to have a tow truck come. That was bad. And then the second time, it wasn't necessarily a breakdown, but there was an issue. Same Mercedes. It was maybe 2 days after I bought the car. And to be honest, it was pretty loud when I bought it. It was loud. But I just thought, this is how this Mercedes sounds. And then as I'm driving down the road, I hear this, and I'm freaking out. And I look under the car, and my muffler hanging on the floor, hanging on the ground. Not great. So I call my dad, and he's like, okay, just I don't want you to be alarmed, but it's going to be really loud when you start it. And I started it. Sounded the same. Turns out it was never actually connected, and they just like took some wire hangers and
You were driving around, you had one of those actions of the
of
the floppy exhaust.
So that was the first thing I ever had to do on my car was get a new muffler.
Nice.
So that was not
replicated
great.
Your ball joint failure with a Hot Wheels.
Yes. Hopefully that's not what happens on my current disco.
So Case just got this for me, which was very nice of him. And I want to show it off in this podcast because it's something called Hot Wheels.
It's something called Hot Wheels.
If you've
yes.
never heard of it.
Tommy, if you're unaware.
A new thing.
Not sponsored. So what this is, it's a teeny twuck, as my wife would say.
A teeny twuck.
And it's the size of a Hot Wheels, but look at this.
This is incredible.
It comes included with an entire catalog of aftermarket parts so you can upgrade it. So, Case, walk us through some of the mods that you've done on yours.
Dude, you've got roof rack. You've got different bumper options, different wheels and tires. You can throw, like, a shovel and Max Tracks and all kind of neat stuff on it and little these old school kind of traction boards, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People would call those back in the day.
Can you see any of this on the camera?
No.
Case.
But it's so tiny.
Okay.
Oh, here we go, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy's up and out of his seat. This is going to be great for the people that are listening to this as a podcast.
I bet
Does that work?
I bet that's an... Wow. Nice.
Yeah, so those are both the same Hot Wheels, except, mine is post-modification. And Tommy's is pre-modification.
Yeah, that looks great.
It's pretty cool. They do a bunch of different vehicles that are like the mod shop thing that you could swap different parts onto. It's fun.
That's pretty cool.
Is that good?
I think we've got solid.
It. All right, Tommy, what about you? What are your worst breakdowns?
I've never
breakdowns?
Had a breakdown.
What? I feel like that's a lie.
I don't think I've ever had a breakdown.
No breakdowns. Tommy's just never... Nothing bad has ever happened to Tommy.
You've never had to call and be like, hey, I need you guys to grab a trailer and
actually, that's not true. In a company car, I've had a breakdown once.
Okay. Not in your personal.
No.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. All of his cars are perfect.
I've never had a breakdown. I had a 1971 Fiat, which is for sale, by the way, if you want to buy it.
Guy.
It did break down going to Longmont on the highway. The valve train exploded.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Pretty bad, yeah.
With Brendan?
Well, and
It's since been fixed, for the record.
In a way, if you count it, We break down at least once or twice every time we drive the Model T.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, wow.
That's a regular basis.
But if you only stop for like 15 minutes and then you're back on the road again.
I mean,
that's
the British
just part of driving it.
Fails to proceed is what's happened there. It's not really a breakdown. Mm. I actually did have, now I think about it, I did have a call a tow truck once because in high school I had a 78 Lincoln Continental and the voltage regulator went bad on it.
Hmm. Of course,
and that left me stranded at high school. Yeah, I've got a really, I don't have my phone on me, but a really horrific picture of me in that car.
Well, but work related, I don't know.
I popped two tires quite famously.
Yeah,
that's true.
The breakdown.
I've never seen Tommy swear like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was upset.
We just had a breakdown case.
Well, the 100
the
series.
The Land Cruiser. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we did kind of have to trailer it because it was
kaput.
Yeah, the front end was making
horrific
a lot of noise. You wouldn't have wanted to drive it in that shape. And I realized that you could, well, theoretically, you could disconnect the front drive shaft and lock the center diff.
It
would still drive the front diff because it's connected to the hubs.
It would have broken the housing if we had kept going with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a breakdown. Qualify, yeah.
So, Jen, you've got a couple cars.
Yes.
And you've written down their personalities.
I have.
If they were humans.
I did.
How would you describe them?
Well, I'm going to start with my Disco, which is obviously a British gent.
A British gent.
Named Charles. He wears like nice slacks, but with like Bluntstone shoes, you know, boots. And like, of course, a Patagonia jacket because it's outdoorsy, but it's really just for the brand. He's also the guy that like recommends a scenic route, but then it annoyingly takes like an extra hour to get there. But he's trying to say like, oh, no, it's for the best. And everyone's like really pissed off about it. And I think he's also the guy that like tries to keep it cool in heated situations. But at the same time, he's the guy where they're like, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm good. But he's like clearly bleeding from his heart and needs some medical attention. It's like, maybe you should actually get some help, brother.
Do something.
Yeah. So that's my Disco 5.
What did you name the man? Charles.
Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Charles.
So Case and I both actually own the same car. We both have Fiats, 500Es.
Oh, yeah, I don't even count that in my list. Yes, there's a lease.
Yes, but...
It's like a long rental.
That's a man named Vincenzo.
Vincenzo. Uh-huh. Wow.
Vincenzo. Interesting. Okay. Yes.
Okay, yes, Vincenzo.
Not your Vincenzo.
Right.
Case knows somebody named Vincenzo, but this is a different Vincenzo. He's pretty short. That still could be your Vincenzo. But... smokes constantly, right?
Still could be Vinny.
Very tattooed.
Okay.
Also Vinny.
No, I mean, he's a character, all right? Uh-huh. Right? He's got like a little bit of a complex going on.
Yeah. Does he wear like heels with his boots?
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Lifts.
Yes. And like very wide brimmed pants, right? And then like a tank top.
Got it. Okay.
Like
yeah.
a white tank
I can
top
picture
and he's smoking.
It. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Interesting. Vincenzo. Wow.
Yeah.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
What about your actual car?
Well, let's say the Land Rover. You guys ever meet or have been friends with those people that they'll kind of mess with you, and it's funny, but they don't realize that you can't do that nonstop.
Oh, it's
all the time.
Vincenzo.
Sometimes you just gotta cut it out for a second and be a normal human being.
That's your
unfortunately
that's your car, huh?
Yeah. That is the Disco. But simultaneously, also an arguably rugged cigarette smoking kind of thing with no cat on it.
He has no cat. This guy's got no cat.
Dogs only.
Dogs yeah. only.
The car's got no cat.
Humans
and the human
got no cat.
Represented has no cat.
Right.
What's his name?
But it's got that dog in it.
It's got that dog in him, like Costco.
Yeah.
Like Costco?
Yeah, it got that dog in me. You've seen that shirt? It's a Kirkland hot dog. It's got that I got that dog in me. $1.50.
That's awesome.
What's his name?
I think I'm going to give it the name Wayne.
Wayne. Mm. I could see that. I could see Wayne.
So I've got that 70s Mercedes. Uh-huh. And that's a man who looks interesting, but is actually very uninteresting to know.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think there's a lot going on.
Someone with good style, right? Mm. A lot of very design forward.
Yeah.
Is actually quite boring to have
intercourse
with.
Oh, no. Very vanilla.
I don't know how else you interact with somebody.
Usually it's not just intercourse, Tommy.
But the point is, he looks like he'd be good at something, but
just not.
Yeah.
Not so good.
That's my 70s Mercedes.
Mm. Well,
I'm another of yours.
I'm going to talk about I briefly owned a 97 SVT Cobra. And this guy's name is Derek, for sure. He usually shows up late, and usually something very loud, like flames or something, like a flame shirt.
Perhaps hat turned backwards.
Oh,
flame
of course.
Shirt. How interesting. I would never.
97.
Yeah, sorry, Case. But
Fred Durst style hat
Fred
turned backwards.
Durst, for sure, yeah. It was a red 90s. Yep, there it is.
Just one of those days.
And he usually shows up late because he wants to be seen. He wants to make an entrance. Yeah.
Did yours look like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a red 97. Wow. Yeah. It was sick.
You're kind that of describing sick. Guy Fieri.
I mean, a little bit, if Guy Fieri was a car. He's kind of aggressive. Smells a little bad, you know? Not enough to like say something, yeah. But like always kind of like, oh, Derek fucking smells, you know?
Are you just not manifesting an ex right now?
I mean, kind of, actually.
It's either that or she's talking about me right in front of my face.
Flames.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say this again in case it has nothing to do with you, but he kind of walks with like a sway, you know? And everyone thinks he looks really dumb, but on the inside they're like, kind of looks cool. You know what I mean?
Derek, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry.
Let's also keep in mind that my first name legally is Dirk.
Oh my God.
To be fair, when I think of you, I don't think of this Cobra.
Okay.
I do.
That would be another interesting question.
I think
question
of your LR4.
What cars represent us as people?
Yeah. Mm. I think.
Which could be a different.
I think,
question.
Unfortunately, my 335 represents me more than any other car I've driven.
Mm. Why is that?
Well, I think, her name was Greta. Took me a while to name her, but I landed with Greta. Mm. And I think, at first glance, she looks responsible, you know, the 335. But then the next thing you know, she's taking all the shortcuts and finding twisty turns and, you know, turbo noises and trying to lose you. She also kind of thinks that she's going to be, like, the responsible one. But then she's always the one that's like lost at a party and taking shots and doing karaoke.
That's you, huh?
So I think it's like you say one thing, but then you kind of do the other. And then you can never really decide if you're going to dress for comfort or to impress. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know. I think that's kind of, unfortunately, me.
Do you agree that you are a 97 Cobra in personality?
I wouldn't say that exactly.
I feel like I unintentionally described Case.
I could sip of coffee.
I would like to be a C4 Corvette over the Cobra if I am allowed.
Really?
That.
Okay.
Okay.
I could see that.
Will we allow it?
I could see that. The worst Corvette, yeah.
The problem with the Corvette, you're a pretty fast individual.
Not that fast.
In what
you
way?
You see me run?
What way? He just walks with
I've got
that
more
sway,
torque
you know?
Than horsepower, to be honest.
Yeah, that's... yeah. I feel like you need something more powerful than the C4 Corvette.
Well, I appreciate that.
Mm. Yeah.
I could be like an LT4 car.
I'd be like a Corolla hybrid.
Oh. I thought you... I was going to say a Mini, but that sounds bad.
XV30
Prius. That's right. Yeah, I could be a... Next subject.
I think you're a Land Rover of sorts. Well, you're more reliable. My wife is a Land Rover.
Wow.
She's got a lot of personality, but she breaks down a lot. Oh, spent a lot of time in the hospital.
Oh, May. I love you, May.
So it is what it is. We've talked about this. She and I know this. Oh. This is not like if she were to watch this podcast, she would just nod along and say, yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't break down that much.
That's savage. No, that's why I'm a Corolla. Pretty uninteresting in any way. But usually fairly reliable. And I'm pretty late to stuff because the Corolla is slow.
Oh, okay.
You could be a Tercel.
Ah, that's
like
it.
Like a four-wheel drive Tercel. The cool thing.
I thought Tommy would be more of a Citroën.
Not the Tercel you want.
He'd be more of a Citroën.
I could be a DS.
Yes. Yeah, I could see the DS.
Or 2CV, sure. Something very quirky and slow.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
You're not sure if it's sexuality initially.
Its name is Pat.
Yes, exactly. That's me. I'm a 2CV. All right. So, Jen, overrated car mods.
Yes. Oh. Yes. I will start with Underglow.
Oh, this guy had Underglow. Do
I
you
did.
Know that?
God, why do I hate all of your stuff, Case?
If you can't tell, if you're watching this, if you can't tell by the hoodie that I'm wearing, and really, I mean, everything about me, I have owned a car with an Underglow. And, you know, depending on the car, I might do it again. Dude, okay, when was the last time? Let's be perfectly honest here. When was the last time you actually saw a car with Underglow? When I see a car cruise by, it's the rare times I see a car cruise by with Underglow.
Are we considering like rock lights Underglow? Because I'd see that a lot now in trucks.
And rock lights are.
No, I'm talking about like car meets in Aurora, Colorado.
Pause.
You know what I mean?
Kay says rock lights aren't his thing, but Underglow is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You're putting lights underneath your car.
So Underglow is cool because of the Fast and Furious exclusively. That's it. So if I see a clapped out Civic roll by, I don't think of it at all. But if I see one roll by with Underglow, I'm like, nice, man.
Sarcastically, though, of course.
No.
Case actually does like Underglow.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's, honestly, it's like, sure.
He had a plastidiffed Mazda in college.
Yeah.
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying this is a high point. I'm not saying this is the high watermark for automobiles. But, you know, if you're having fun and you're like, dude, I'm going to put Underglow on my car. Power to you. That's cool, man.
I'm with Jen on this one.
Thank you.
When do we like move to Overglow?
You guys have Overglow.
Lights on the top.
Yeah.
Shining
interesting.
Up.
Overglow. Could be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Tommy?
Well, I think only the police gets to use Overglow, but overrated car mods. Ooh, anything to do with the intake.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like the cold air intakes that people do. I'm pretty sure that does nothing.
Did you not think of a car mod pre-podcast?
I did think of one, but I think it might be one that you're going to say.
We talked about this before the podcast. Mm.
But I do think
can't steal mine.
Intakes in general, like, because people always put those cane and cone things on there.
Yeah.
But usually you're actually just sucking in hotter air than the original air ducting of like the original car. That's something that like engineers put a lot of thought into, like where to pick up the coldest air.
And they're like, how do we mess this up?
Usually they're pretty good at that. Yeah. So I'm going to intake.
I will say a nice pod filter, especially if it's still, a lot of pod filters have a box around them with a weather seal so that it's still picking up cool air.
Sure.
But a nice pod filter can get you some more induction noise.
Which
is cool. Induction noise is nice. But piggybacking off of, which is the reason I brought up my earlier point, piggybacking off of that, and this is going to be a bit of a hot take, exhaust. Because to be honest, most cars don't sound that good. And if you make them louder, most cars sound worse. Tommy and I earlier were talking about Pentastar V6s, which is a good engine.
Mm-hmm.
Very economical engine, and they've made lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
They do not sound good. A Jeep Wrangler with a loud exhaust sounds awful.
It's just more louder awfulness.
Yeah, it's more bad noise.
Yeah, it's more bad.
So it just sounds worse.
Yeah. What'd you say? No, we've never done that. I don't think we've ever put an exhaust on it.
Which Jeep does Cole think that we put an exhaust on?
I don't think we did. We may have, but
Tommy would not like.
No,
that.
It was the. I think that the did the AEV have an exhaust on it already?
Mm-mm.
It didn't. No, I did. Whenever I see like a naturally aspirated V6 in a passenger car with an exhaust on it, I imagine like a small kid that like is in timeout in a corner and just starts screaming. Just,
Yeah, it's like most Infinities.
That's how it sounds.
Yeah.
Most Infinities.
I agree with that one.
And especially in a Wrangler, when you hear a modified one get on the throttle, you know, they drop a gear and stay right here.
Mm. Yeah. You know what?
It's just noise.
I've got a hot take. You know what's an overrated mod?
What?
Changing the radio.
Especially on a vintage car.
I thought you meant like changing the radio.
Yes.
Okay.
Tuning the radio, not it. No, like when people take like an older car and then they put like an aftermarket head unit
like
in it.
Like an Alpine.
Screen. Yes.
The screen.
I'm not.
I hate it when, yeah, when you've got like a mid-90s car.
Yes.
And it's got the cheapest, flimsiest.
And I understand.
CarPlay screen.
Yes. Like CarPlay now is a nice thing. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like just get like an adapter, like a tape adapter, a little like Bluetooth thing.
Yeah, man.
I miss my old tape adapter.
Mm. Yeah.
Some kids don't even know what that is. You take a cassette tape that has a wire on it and you put it in your cassette player in the car and you plug that into your phone.
Yeah.
But you can't even do that now because you don't have an aux cable. So then you have to get an adapter for your... It's terrible.
Things are really going bad in society.
Going downhill.
Yeah. But now for our hot take. Give me an overrated car.
So I have my go-to... One.
Your go-to car that you hate.
Yes, but I think we've talked about it too much.
Give us something new.
Give us something new. I might have to think on it.
Okay, Jen, do you want to give us one?
Yeah, Wrangler.
You're from the class.
Oh, God, Jen. Yeah,
that's why it's a hot take.
Oh.
It's a hot take.
Why?
Because, yes, it can be great going off-road, and if that's what you choose to do with it, cool, but what are the percentages of people that take their Wranglers off-road? Are they crawling rocks or are they mall crawling? You know what I'm saying?
Well, they might be. Yeah.
But I would argue that those people are still having a better time than normal people because they can take the top and doors off.
Yeah, and then the ride quality is still bad.
Okay, Jen. Jen's coming out with claws out.
I'm just saying. I think it can be cool, but the majority of people that are driving these Wranglers are not using it for what they're meant for.
Yeah. But then that's the GT3 argument, the 911. Mm-hmm. Like the most people that buy that aren't taking it to the track.
That could also be overrated.
Mm.
Just saying.
Mm.
It's a hot take for a reason. It's not a warm, lukewarm take.
All right. If Case isn't going to do his overrated car, I'm going to go with it. I think that the 5th-gen 4Runner is an incredibly overrated car.
That was close. That was close on my list.
Is that what you're thinking?
So it's hard. My judgment is so clouded by that vehicle.
The problem is,
I think about it all the time.
I have no doubt that that machine is a very long lasting and competent four-wheel drive, but the Toyota people that own those refuse to think a better piece of engineering has existed on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like fundamentally it lacks in the new version in pretty much every way. Except for maybe longevity, which, you know, is yet to fully be proven. But it's slower. It's less efficient. They only have 5 speeds in the transmission. They move like snails when you put them on big tires.
They sound horrible.
They're infuriating to drive on I-70.
Horrible fuel economy.
Yeah. I just think that, like, yes, they can be very cool. But as a whole, they drive me up the wall.
Also not very good rock crawlers. They're good overlanders because they're very comfortable.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'll give you that. But yeah, that one, I overrated. Crawler. Yeah. I've got another one. And I think I actually saw it on your list. Did you think of one yet?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Piggybacking off of that, 200 series.
Oh, go one.
Yeah. 250 I like, 100 I like, 80 I like, 60. But the 200 series, I think, is kind of the worst.
They're just
fighting words over here.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
I like the 100 series.
Yeah.
I like the 80 series, and I like the 250 series. I like all of the ones on every other end of the 200 series.
I kind of think that actually the 200 series, most people think of as a better 100, and I think of it the opposite. Because like they're pigs off-road. Mm. They're just so big and they're heavy. And like they'll last forever, but so will 100 series, and not really any faster.
Morbidly obese,
yes.
That car.
That is the Big Mac of cars right there. That's right. I agree with that completely. Yeah.
Again, if you are a realtor and you want a very comfortable, nice
if you're
SUV.
There, if you're in Phoenix.
I think it's great, yeah. But
okay, last one, and I see it on your list.
I know. Is it because I'm kind of teetering because I crossed it out, but I kind of want to talk about it. But it's the C8.
Oh.
I think the C8's kind of overrated.
Oh, no.
Had they offered a manual, okay.
A Manuel.
Emmanuel.
Maybe it wouldn't be as overrated. But I think the hype that it was a mid-engine car and then it got so expensive without the option for a Manuel, I think is kind of BS.
I think I'm with Case that I think it's not the prettiest thing. And I do appreciate the manual argument, but I think as a driver's car for the price point, it is incredible. I think that it offers like just a huge amount of performance for that price point. And therefore, I know the problem is, to your point, Jen, is like it's so hyped. It's hard.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad car. I'm saying that it's overrated.
I don't think it is. I think it's correctly rated. But the one car I was going to say is overrated is especially the narrow body Hellcats.
That was on my list.
That's a really good engine in a pretty meh car.
It can go, it can do one thing. It can go straight.
Sort of.
Really fast.
It can do burnouts.
Yeah.
At any point, at any gear.
If you want to turn, don't do that.
Yeah, at any speed. I think the wide body fixed a lot of it, but like the narrow bodies are just, they're almost undrivable and they're just very frustrating to actually try to drive fast.
Yeah.
And that, it's the important thing to mention with any of these cars that we're calling overrated is none of them are bad cars.
No.
Because if they were bad cars, then they wouldn't be hyped.
They wouldn't
enough.
Have made it
yes.
to be overrated.
Like, we can't talk about any bad cars on this list because bad cars don't get hyped.
And we're not talking about a PT Cruiser is overrated. Like, unless it's Tommy.
Tommy
I might overrate
Tommy
a
likes,
little. A little.
Tommy likes PT Cruiser. Yeah. You know what car Tommy really likes?
What?
It's the Vibe GT.
Yeah, oh my God. But seriously, guys, that has...
Underhyped car, according to Tommy.
You guys
Why
are
do
laughing.
You like a Vibe?
Because the Vibe GT... No, don't look at the exterior. Look at Vibe GT engine. Okay?
Hear me out. But the exterior comes with the engine, Tommy.
Yeah.
No, but
it's
you don't...
not just
the whole
an
exterior
engine.
Is attached.
It's the whole car.
You don't look at the exterior when you're in it, but look at this engine, okay?
Pontiac Vibe GT, okay.
Do you see what I see now?
No.
That is the 1.8 liter 16 valve dual overhead cam out of the Lotus Elise. You know those things rev to like 8,000 RPM?
And
$8,000!
Isn't that also in the Matrix? What's the Matrix?
The Matrix.
The Matrix XRS? Matrix something? I should know that. the Matrix.
XRS.
Yes, XRS. Yes, look at that. The 2ZZGE. Case wakes up in the morning dreaming of this engine. He's
so,
thinking about ways of swapping that into a charger.
8,200, 8,500 RPM.
Yeah.
Anyways.
In a Vibe.
Look.
Oh my God, guys. How do you not appreciate this?
Tommy one time was trying to convince me that this is an exciting car.
It is.
And I wasn't having it. And eventually, Tommy, I don't know if he necessarily got frustrated, but... he resorted to saying, you're right, that's too much car for you.
Yeah, it is. Case can't handle 8,000 RPM.
Wow.
You know what
that
might be?
Do you
words.
Own anything that goes to 8,000 RPM?
My Cummins revs to like almost 3.
Yeah, that's what I thought. he can't handle it, Jen.
You know what might be another overrated car?
What?
Or at least overpriced.
What?
S2000. Because that's another really high revving car that... Rad car, but...
those are pretty fun.
For the money?
Yeah, but they're slow.
What about? It's kind of the same thing. It's kind of the Miata problem. Like, the Miata's a great car in a vacuum, but to me, anyway...
Oh, God. We're going to get canceled here.
You can get a Corvette for the same price.
Yeah. I think that those are more overpriced and overrated.
Yeah.
But I do kind of
I think
agree
the two kind
the
of go hand in hand, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Jan's not having it.
Well, you know.
But then you could say the same thing about any 911.
Here in
yeah.
Bum, bum,
yeah.
Bum.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go to trivia?
I have a little segment before that.
Okay. What do you got?
Is this a secret segment?
It's a new one called This or That.
Okay.
Okay.
I like
so
it.
I'm gonna give you some options, and you have to tell me which one you would prefer. Like, would you rather have a straight piped Prius or a charger that only plays elevator music?
Straight piped Prius.
Charger for sure.
What?
Interesting.
Listen, the Prius you only listen to half the time because the other half is electric.
Have you listened to the band Krongbin that I listen to?
Yes.
That pretty much sounds like elevator music anyway.
No, they're a little more funky than that.
Elevator music is orchestral version of Sabrina Carpenter. You're telling me you want to listen to Taylor Swift on the viola the entire time you drive?
You won't be able to listen to any music in the Prius whatsoever. And then you got to drive a Prius.
Half the time I will.
Charger is a fun car if you pick the right one. Yeah, well, she didn't say V6, so I'm picking the Charger that I have in my head.
All right, give us another one.
Another one. Would you rather have a 1,000 horsepower car
with
bicycle tires or a 100 horsepower car with the grip of a Formula One?
100 horsepower car. No one needs 1,000 horsepower. That's way too much power.
Yeah, just for the sake of actually being able to get somewhere. Like, I'm not sure. You would burn rubber at idle.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You could.
Which would be bad.
Okay, one more. No AC in the summer or no heat in the winter?
No AC in the
and
summer.
And my first car had both, so.
Yeah, no, I'm ditching the AC.
Yeah, heat's kind of crucial. Yeah. I had a car without heat
sure
once,
was.
And that was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I drove around with a blanket on my lap.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
That old 190E, baby.
So, trivia's returned.
Trivia has returned.
Brought to you, as always, by Scott O'Sullivan at Rider Justice. If you have an oopsie, a Yankee Doodle on a motorcycle or a car of any kind, and you need a little bit of legal... assistance?
You call Scott.
You call Scott.
You call Scott.
Scott O'Sullivan at Rider Justice. He's your man.
Wow, I think we actually got through that.
It's because I wasn't involved.
Wow. I'm impressed, guys.
But Scott is the man. So if you're like, if you're looking cool like Scott is on his motorcycle here, or if you're looking uncool like me and my Vibe GT, and someone runs you off the road, there's an incident, a speeding ticket, whatever.
I think he's on a Ducati Scrambler.
I know. Too much bike right there.
They're not super fast.
You call Scott, Rider Justice, and Scott O'Sullivan Law Firm. Big thank you to Scott for sponsoring this episode of Car-ish and specifically Trivia.
Trivia.
Maybe we'll learn something today.
All right. Well, let's see what we got. All right. First one. What does...
I'm excited.
AMG stand for?
Oh, my God.
Something German and really long.
I'm going to say a Motor Grosse.
You have one part of a word in there that you got, which was gross. It's Alfred Melker and Grossasbach.
Really?
Oh, it's names, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're three people?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. That's a tough one.
At least that's what I think.
Which I knew it was names, so.
Yeah.
We have 0 points across the board on that one.
Cole, do you have a pen or any type of writing utensil? Whoa. Oh, my God.
That was a good fake out.
Got it. Okay. Nice. Don't you be looking. All right.
I can't read that far.
What does a boxer engine mean?
Horizontally opposed.
And?
Pistons going that way.
And?
It has to do with the config, because there's a difference between like a flat four and a boxer four. It has to do with like the orientation of when the pistons leave the crank.
Like crossplane?
No, because like a normal one is like this, and a boxer is like
firing order.
What's the actual answer?
The individual crank pins per cylinder.
Oh, you can give that one a case.
Case.
That's a tough one.
Wow. Okay. Hold on.
I get a charity point.
Jen's trivia is hard. I miss Mary's trivia. What's the color of my RAV4?
Who built the Mustang? Okay.
Oh, my God.
What car, not brand, what car popularized the rotary engine?
Oh.
The RX-7? RX-7.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Nice.
See that one? Coming back from the death.
What does VCM stand for?
Variable...
Vehicle Control Module?
Variable Compression Management? Variable... something management.
Very close, yeah.
Variable Control Management?
Cylinder Management.
Cylinder. Oh, no one gets that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I knew that.
That's not a technology that anybody wants.
Well, it's on the Pilot, the 2026 Pilot.
Oh, is it really?
It'll shut down some cylinders for, you know.
Wow, okay.
Nobody wants it. Okay. Which came first, turbocharger or supercharger?
I'd say supercharger, right? That's my guess. There's a lot of huffers on old hot rods.
Yeah, that's very true.
What is that word you just used?
Huffer.
Huffers. Okay. I would say heifers.
Yeah,
I would have said heifers.
What's the answer?
Case is right. It's superchargers.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Makes sense. Like the Mercedes that you drove,
the what case?
The pre-1945 German car.
The car manufactured between 39 and 45, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
That Mercedes did not want you to mention is related to any specific historic...
No, you're right. Yeah, that's true.
Moving on.
Event.
What does DB in DB5 stand for?
David Brown.
Okay.
Right. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I don't own one.
I love this one because I didn't know this, but how did Jeep get the origin of its name?
Well, there's debate about that. There was a cartoon character.
Yes.
My answer does not have anything about cartoons.
Or it's the...
And then there's GP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tommy, I have a feeling Tommy already knew that.
Yeah, he did. He was interested, intrigued to see what I say.
Yes.
But you know what I'm talking about?
But what is GP? What is that? What are those... Where does that come from, those words?
There's debate on that, too.
Oh, no.
Some people say government purpose, sometimes general purpose.
General purpose, yeah.
But that was also the abbreviation for an 80-inch wheelbase within the Army. So.
Oh, it was just saying it.
You really stepped in a big hornet's nest. Oh, boy.
Tommy should have the point on this because he's just letting
go. No, it's okay. Goodness. You can give it the case.
Okay. Which car company once made refrigerators and scooters?
Oh, Crosley?
No.
Refrigerators and scooters.
And also, tractors.
Ford? That's very interesting.
I'm going with Ford.
Tractors, refrigerators, General Motors. And scooters. I mean, okay, let me think of brands that I know have definitely made tractors.
Porsche.
Oh, yeah, true. Pork has made... They have made tractors. Sorry, Porch. Porch has made tractors. Yeah, that's true. I'm going to say Ford.
No, it's Lamborghini.
Really?
Lamborghini?
Interesting.
They made a scooter?
Yeah, what scooter did they make? I don't know, but apparently they made them. Okay, why do diesel engines not need spark plugs?
It's compression ignition. Ugh.
Beautiful case. Yeah. That was beautiful. Straight he's up. Cheating. He's looking.
I'm looking at this Lamborghini refrigerator, yo.
They do have...
It's sick, brother.
It's only $180. It's 34% off. We got to get one.
Wow.
We could
not as expensive as the car, I see. Yeah. Okay, I'm guessing Tommy's going to get this, but what bizarre feature did early version of the Citroën 2CV have for rural... farmers?
Removable seats that you could sit in.
They had a lot of weird features.
You're failing me, Tommy.
The suspension that you could drive over the field with the egg and the...
Yes.
Okay.
That was it. Yes.
The egg suspension.
The egg suspension.
It's so soft that you could carry eggs across a plowed field without breaking them.
That's true. I did that video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Volkswagen also didn't break any eggs, so then I had to break some eggs.
Well, you know what they say. You got to break some eggs. Okay. Case, you're winning by one.
I shouldn't be.
Okay.
To be honest. All right. I don't feel good about it.
You need this to dial it in. Okay. Which car helped define the modern hot hatch category
GTI.
In the 70s? Okay. All right. Here's a tiebreaker. When you are upsizing tires, can go up what percentage of the overall diameter before stuff starts getting wonky? What is the percentage and what starts to get wonky?
75%.
Oh my God.
From 31s to 42s.
No, no, no.
What's your actual answer?
10%.
I'm going to say 3%.
It's 3%.
And I think it's speedometer that gets wonky.
Correct.
You guys drive more refined cars than I do. My cars are already pretty wonky, to be honest.
Case is like 800%.
Tommy, you win.
Good trivia this
year. Thank you, sir. This year.
This day.
Maybe next year will be better.
That's a hard question, though.
It's only April.
So Jen, when she ran her tire business, wouldn't upsize more than 3%.
No, I would, but I wouldn't install them on the cars. Mm. I would say you have to give me the loose wheels and tires. I will install whatever janky stuff you want me to do, but I ain't installing it on your car.
I like... I've seen video clips pop up online of this Cajun guy. He's a comedian and a car enthusiast. And he's got this one joke where he's talking to the people at AutoZone and they're saying he wants the wrong tires. And he says, this car's got the wrong motor, the wrong cam, wrong transmission. Just mount those bad boys up for me, Playboy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So our final segment of the day, and I'm going to have Jen go first on this one because she was excited for Grind My Gears.
Okay, so I recently went on a little new mom girls trip.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got these two friends. They had their children 2 weeks after I had my daughter, so we've been kind of going through everything at the same time. And my grind my gears is we went to Breckenridge, and on Saturday night, we decided, let's go to a fancy dinner.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And keep in mind, we are three new moms that are still nursing, so we are hungry all the time. Okay? And we went to this dinner, and I saw, oh, I get a bowl of gnocchi for $30. I'm like, $30? I'm expecting, like, a bowl. And what do I get is this sad excuse for a bowl of gnocchi with literally 12 noodles in there.
They look like maggots.
For $30.
A question. Is this the meal before or after you ate it?
Oh, no. That is when it was served.
Because it
when
looks
it was
like,
served.
It looks like it could have been consumed once already.
$30. And I literally 12 little rolls of gnocchi in there. We asked for some butter with our freshly made focaccia bread. They charged us $3
for the butter. No way.
It was insane. So I will say everything was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But $19 for a side of asparagus, $19 for a side of carrots, $3 for butter, $30 for whatever how much this is. For three starving new moms, this was
egregious.
Not to the place we wanted to go. So that's my grandma.
That is a good grandma.
That was horrible.
I went to a place in Denver this past weekend for my anniversary.
That is a grandma gear.
Well, just going to Denver in general.
And I had eaten some chicken nuggets beforehand, so I wasn't that hungry.
Rightfully so.
But we went to a very expensive dinner, and I ordered a half order of the tortellini, the truffle tortellini, and it included. And they did tell me on the order, but I didn't know how small it'd be. They were like three tortellonis. In the entire dish.
Tortellones.
It was $5 per tortelloni. But it was very good.
Well, 15.
And if I hadn't eaten so many chicken nuggets, I would have been more upset about the situation. Yeah.
What freaked me out is one of the other moms and I, when we were looking at the menu, we were like, maybe we'll split the gnocchi. Like, thank God we didn't.
Thank goodness.
Because we would have been fighting each other. This was just bad.
Yeah.
It was just real bad. Yeah. Get out of here.
What's grinding your gears these days, Case?
Did I do this one already? I honestly can't remember. But I was at the airport, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, which...
Common.
Yeah, common. Mm-hmm. Not that bad in itself, although my wife doesn't have pre-check, so we have to leave the house literally like an hour earlier because I'm traveling with her.
That Land Rover. How dare she?
I know. Anyway. She's great. We get to the top of an escalator. I can't remember if I've talked about this before, but this does bug me. Just the lack of situational awareness with a lot of people. Person in front of me gets to the top of the escalator, stops, and is looking around. Escalator's moving.
Oh, no. Brother.
Like, I'm coming at you, dude. So you might just get tackled from behind. You can't get to the top of an escalator and stop moving. That doesn't work.
Just broad
work.
Shoulders and keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Casey starts screaming.
Watch out! Yeah, slow motion car accident in progress, basically. But sometimes, literally, I have to, like, kind of half step backwards toward the person behind me because you can't get to the top of an escalator and stop moving.
No.
You have to continue. So that's not great. I think just general bad situational awareness.
There should be a rule. Piggybacking off this, this is my gears before we wrap up. Moving walkways at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
No children allowed.
No children around. And also, stand to the right.
Mm. Yeah. Actually,
there are some people that actually need to...
People don't know how to use them. No adults allowed either. No one is allowed to use the moving walkway.
Maybe you
need...
There needs
to be a license to get on those things.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
A permit.
You need another, like, pre-check. You need one for the moving walkway.
I have yet to see a single person, other than me, obviously, use a moving walkway correctly.
Really?
Nobody knows how to use them.
No.
You continue to walk, in my opinion,
right.
Upon the moving walkway.
Then you just get the lazy people who are like, oh, I can use a brake. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Electrify the handrails.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh
my God. You get 240 volts to the sternum.
240? Yeah. My God.
I'm taking this crap serious. If you're just standing there, straight to jail.
Get also, out the way.
Who touches those things at the airport?
Why do you need?
Gross.
Okay. The only thing I touch at the airport is the bin that I put my bag in.
Yeah.
And that's also, I don't even want to do
that. I don't want to either, but I
have. It moves at a quarter mile an hour. Why do you need a handrail?
Yeah, right. Unless you're ancient.
Yeah, in which case you're not allowed in the airport.
In which case, get chauffeurred around in the little golf cart.
If you're over 70, you shouldn't be traveling. That's just the general
rule. You have to stay
home
now.
Stay put.
All right, you saw everything you wanted to see.
And now on that cancelable topic, we're ending today's car-ish. Guys, thank you for listening. Big thank you to all of our Patreon commenters. We'll get to your comments next week.
What's our word?
Our word for the day.
Yeah.
Somebody said I'm like the twin turbo. Are they saying that about me? I can't tell.
Oh, no.
Kate is like my twin turbo Callaway speedster. Word of the day is turbo.
Turbo.
If you've made it this far, congratulations. Thank you for the support.
Thank you.
I think word of the day should be Fred Durst.
Nobody knows how to spell Fred Durst.
D-U-R-S-T.
There's a new?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Durst.
Okay, you can call it turbo or Durst.
We'll turbo Durst.
Turbo Durst. Perfect.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.